And I want to start this evening by backtracking a little bit. I want to go back, and I'm going to throw Chris a real serious curveball here because it's not one of the slides. Well, yeah, I guess you don't have to if you can't. But last week, I talked about the second point. Last week was acknowledging and care for your acknowledging care for your pastor, and I was remiss in not expounding on that point, mainly because, as I told you last week, it's a very difficult subject for me to talk about. Please bear with me on this. I never, ever, ever want to come across as being self-serving or prideful, so that's why I was kind of bouncing around the subject last week. I did want to bring it back up, but the Lord really put it on my heart to talk more about it, and I didn't. And so, I know I've asked this question, but don't argue with God. Because he wins every time, okay? And so I as I was preparing for tonight, I was like, okay, I'll go back and we'll revisit this subject. And Conan was a part of that. His comment last week kind of caught me off guard a little bit. But I want to talk about this idea of respect for your pastor, okay? And again, please understand my heart as we do this. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 17. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. And I talked about it a little bit. I didn't go into a lot of detail, but I felt very convicted this week that we need to talk about this two words, the double honor. It literally means in 21st century English, it would be an abundance of respect. Okay? Now, I want to say this also. What I'm about to say tonight, I can honestly say I don't know anybody in our church that does not show me great respect. Okay, I'm just saying that. So I'm not pointing my finger at anyone other than Bob. Okay, just I only did that because Rick Spector pointing at you. But no, seriously, I don't know anybody. So I can approach this subject with a very clean heart and a clear conscience, okay? So nobody is being disrespectful to me that I know of. But I wanted to kind of park on this because what does it mean to show an abundance of respect? I mean, what do you think of when you hear that phrase? Okay.
And
okay.
Support your pastor.
Okay, Dave.
Strive to mimic or be like.
Okay. Okay. That's a fair assessment. Yeah, I hadn't thought about that, but yeah, that's a fair assessment. Anybody else? Brian?
I think when I think of it, it's more to the positive and not the negative.
Right.
Showing respect and not tearing down or detracting right. Or anything like that.
Absolutely. Totally. Yeah. Anybody else? Okay. All right, the next thing I'm going to share with you is not original to me. I've added a couple little things, but the bulk of what I'm going to share with you is not original to me. I don't know who to give credit to this, but a few important ways to show respect to a pastor. One is to present be present and engage during services. I can't tell you how important that is. If everybody is just sitting there, just, you know, stone faced, I might as well be talking to the wall. It's hard. So be present, engage in the service, and this is another one: attend church regularly, and actively listen to the sermons. It can be discouraging when, you know, 1 week we have, you know, this many, and then next week it's like, where's everybody at? Oh, the weather's finally turned well, it turned good, and everybody's at the lake, you know. Another way is to pray for your pastor and their family. Include them in your personal prayers and encourage them to do, encourage others to do the same. I talked this morning about, you know, when we make a profession of, you know, a public profession, and we say, hey, I'm going to live for God, you know, or we get baptized or we do something public, we put a target on our backs. Well, if you think you got a target on your back, how big is the target on my back? Okay? And I need your prayers. I'm just saying. Please make that a priority. This is something that I would not have thought of. Anyway, because of the source, offer verbal and written compliments. If you visit my desk the desk at my home, not my desk here, and you open the bottom right-hand drawer of my desk, you'll find a few files, but behind the files is a stack of cards and letters that people from this church have written me for various reasons, thanking me for whatever. And I keep those. And then, you know what it's like to have a bad day? Anybody ever have a bad day? No, none of you would ever have a bad day. But no, there have been days that I have just opened that drawer and I've just pulled them out and I've just start randomly going through them, reading them. And it is a source of incredible blessing to me. Support financially, contribute generously to your church and help sustain the pastor's work. You know, honestly, if you don't give, I don't get paid. You know, I mean, it's pretty simple, you know, economics 101, I mean, you know, but no, seriously, it's important because, you know, you have to think of it this way. And I, as I was preparing for this, I thought about this and I don't share this very much. Lawrence knows probably more than anybody, but when the finances of the church are not where they need to be, who carries that burden? I do. And it's a heavy burden.
As another pastor friend told you, that when there are financial issues, that is a black cloud over everything.
It is.
For the pastor.
For the pastor, right. And I would never, in a million years, you've never heard me stand up here and say, oh, we're behind on our bills and we need to, you know, and you need to give. I don't do that. It's a burden that I carry that I take straight to God. Because the last time I checked, he's the one in charge. But finances of a church are critical to the mental health of a pastor. Does that make sense? Get involved in ministries. Volunteer your time, talents to support the church activities and programs. Again, you know we've talked about this before, and you know generally it's not a problem around here, but it's Hey, it's something we all should do. Here's another one that I would not necessarily have thought about, but respect their time and boundaries. Be careful of their personal life schedules and avoid unnecessary interruptions. Now, that's a tough one because I have had people tell me, oh, well, I was in the hospital last week. And why do I not know this? Well, I didn't want to what?
Bother you.
You know, the only thing that I ask, and most of you are really, really good about this, is Monday is my day off, and I try to spend that with Melanie. And for the most part, my phone is pretty quiet on Monday. If you have an emergency, call me. Okay, and we make we make hospital visits and do things, but just be respectful of that, but at the same time understand that's why we're here too. Okay, so it's kind of a double-edged sword. Okay, here's one that is kind of hard for me. Is call him pastor. Now, my name is Rick, but I learned really, really early in the military that you salute the position, not the person. Right? Right? Those of you in the military. Okay, we got a guy here in the Navy uniform even. Have you ever saluted an officer that you didn't like? Why? Because you're saluting this hand. You're saluting the position. You're saluting the what he's wearing on his collar. Yes. And I will say this. I don't care who's the president of the United States, whether I like him or not. I still call him president.
Amen. That's right.
And it drives me crazy. The media refers to Trump or Biden as Trump and Biden. That just absolutely drives me crazy. My dad would have washed my mouth out with soap when I was a kid if I'd have called President Nixon Richard Nixon. Just saying. Okay? Do I deserve the position I have? I don't believe I do, but God does. So respect the office, okay? Show respect to the pastor's family. Extend courtesy and kindness to the spouse. And while we don't have the children in the home, but you know what I mean. If you are under a pastor that has children, then absolutely do that. Absolutely. Oh, and let me say this. I am very careful. My former pastors that I've had throughout my life, and some of them are contemporaries with me. You know, we're basically the same age. I have one that is actually younger than me. I still call him pastor. That's just what I do. Okay, just thought I'd say that. The next thing is to follow their leadership. I think that's what you said. Follow their leadership. Follow the teachings and guidance provided by your pastor. Providing, what is the one exception? If they go against Scripture, then that's when you don't. But as long, it's like Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. And then the last one here, be a positive influence and encourage others in the church to show appreciation and support for the pastor. So these are just some things that I felt that I had not been faithful to you as a church to talk about, just because I didn't want to. But anyway, I hope you understand my heart. And so anybody, anything before we move on? Yeah, nobody's going to back talk me now.
No, but I want to say something. Yes. It's much easier to follow a pastor who you know is on his knees before the Lord and seeking what the Holy Spirit would have him to do, rather than one who says, follow me, you can read your Bible, you can do whatever you want to read your Bible later, but listen to my words.
Right.
And you don't ever do that, Rick. You're very humble. And it's easy to follow a humble servant of God.
Well, I try really hard. I really do. I try really hard. Yes, sir.
And my comment was meant to support you.
Oh, I know. But God used it to convict me. Just say it. Thank you, brother. Yes, yes.
We talked about that on the way home.
Yeah. She talked about it on the way home. I just kind of cowered over against the window. She was yelling at me on the way here because she knew I was going to do this because I told her. She was getting on me about something. And I'm saying, you're disrespecting your pastor. That didn't work too good.
I said right
yes.
Now. I said right now you're my husband.
So, okay, Ephesians chapter 4. Let's start reading in verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the working of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and of knowledge and of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure and of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Excuse me. That we may henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby we lay in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. For the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted, by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Let's pray. Lord, thank you again for our time together tonight. Thank you for the ability to share my heart. And Lord, help us, dear God, to walk with you. We love you and we thank you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, so last week we talked about this idea of New Testament responsibilities of the church. We talked about three things. We talked about praying for one another. Again, that cannot be overemphasized. That is absolutely necessary. Acknowledging and care for your pastor. And love one another. This week we're gonna the next one we're gonna talk about is the New Testament responsibility of the church to study the scriptures. Study the scriptures. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, I want to say something here because This morning I talked about the fact that when Jesus was tempted the three times in the wilderness, what did he do? Okay, he quoted scripture. Why is that significant?
Because scripture is the word of God.
Okay, scripture is the word of God.
Well, the other part, Satan was using scripture against, was trying to use scripture against.
Okay, Satan was twisting scripture, taking it out of context, and so Jesus used scripture in context to combat scripture out of context. Yes, ma'am.
It models for us what we should do when we're tempted in the future.
Exactly, okay. Now, that what you just said is absolutely key, but let me see, how do I want to say this? What is the implication of what you just said?
That you need to know your Bible.
You need to know your Bible. Amen. Okay? You can't quote what you don't know.
Yep.
Let me say that again. You can't quote what you don't know.
Amen.
Okay? Now.
Well, now. He was looking for affirmation.
Okay. So. We live in a society today that is, I think, unique in the sense that we are surrounded with a lot of tools, are we not? What I mean by that is, you know, we all have, you know, well, I shouldn't say all, I don't know. I have the Bible on my phone. I've got it on my iPad. I've got it, you know, we have all these tools around us. And let's see, how do I want to say it? Let me put it to you this way. When I was younger, pre-cell phone, I actually remembered phone numbers. Right? I mean, you know, I could, why? Because you had to. We had these thing called pay phones, you know, and you had to remember, you remember those? Okay, those are old enough to remember. Yeah, well, then they went to punch ones. But you actually had to remember people's phone numbers. Now, how many of you know a phone number other than your own? I mean, maybe, okay, we might know at the most a half dozen phone numbers that are not our own. Why? Why is that? We don't have to anymore.
Because you have Google.
Well, my wife absolutely loses her mind when she gets into my phone. Because if I say, oh, their contact information is in, you know, my phone, and she's like, Rick, who is this? I don't know.
And why do you still have this person that died 2 years ago in your phone?
I mean, I've got phone numbers. I'm serious. I got dead people in my phone. I just, you know. Yeah, just don't call. If they answer, you're in big trouble. Doge needs to get a hold of my phone. But the reality is we don't have to remember that stuff anymore because we have it in our phones. And the danger that we run into is, oh, let me just pull that up on my phone instead of dedicating it to memory. Okay, there's a big difference. Big difference. So you're exactly correct. And if we don't know it, we can't use it. Jesus did not say, oh, hold on, let me Google that and see. I know it's in here somewhere. Okay? You need to know Scripture. Now, I'm going to say something that some of you may get upset at. Okay?
Okay, we're ready.
Okay, you ready for this? Yeah, you may want to write this down. I don't do this very often. Jesus did not sing a hymn to the devil or a praise song. What did he do? He quoted scripture. Now, is music important and good? Absolutely. I listen to it all the time. But it does not replace the book. Okay? Just saying. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 through 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk with them, and shalt, when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest in the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them as a sign upon thy head, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. Now we look at this passage in Deuteronomy and we think, wow, yes, yes, we need to do. What does it mean to live the passage that I just read? To love the Lord. We need to teach our children to love the Lord our God with every fiber in their being. We are to do it when we sit down, and when we rise up, when we lay down, when we're busy, when we're not busy. Every effort we can to get the Word of God into our children. But what about us? How much time do we take pouring it into us so that we, you know, one of the things that is really important, especially for a pastor, is a pastor needs to take in so he can put out. Okay, does that make sense? Okay, a parent needs to take in so that they can put out. A grandparent needs to take in so that they can put out. And so often we take this responsibility lightly. And what I mean by that is, oh, church has got a junior church. They'll teach my children the Bible. It does not say that. Whose responsibility is it? The parents. And I would dare say grandparents. And if you're so lucky to be great grandparents. Someday, maybe, if my wife lets me live that long. I keep saying things like that. I'm definitely not.
Well, our oldest is Scarlett. We want it to be a
long time. Long time. Long time. This is true. Yes. How then do we teach? What is the, you guys are professional teachers, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Anybody else? Teachers? Oh, birthday girl was a teacher. Now, what did you have to do as a teacher? You had to be taught so that you could then turn around and teach, right? I mean, it's pretty logical, but it's oftentimes we don't often think about it. So how then do we as parents, grandparents, how then do we get taught?
Be in the Word.
Okay, we got to be in the Word. How else?
Teach
Okay, sitting under preaching. How else?
Bible studies.
Bible studies. How about just getting together with some folks in church and just sitting around and just having fellowship and talking about the Word of God and what God's done in your life? See, all that plays in. All that's part of it. And if we discount any of that, we are circumventing our ability to fulfill what the Bible says is our responsibility. So how does the study take place? And we're not going to get very far tonight. I just looked at the clock. I believe our responsibility is to study together as well as independent. We have our own responsibilities to do our own time in the Word, but then we come together and we study together. Why does that work so well? Okay, you get different viewpoints, and okay, yeah.
Differences from perspective of how you learn it.
Okay, but how about just being around someone else motivates you to step up your game?
Iron sharpeneth iron.
Acts chapter 2, verses 41 to 43. And they, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and prayer. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. What preceded the miracles and the wonders? Huh?
Preceded.
That's what I said. Didn't I say preceded?
Yeah, preceded.
What came before? What came before the miracles and all that? It was the believers that got together, prayed together, they studied the Word of God together, fear among the people. And that word fear doesn't mean they were scared of God. It meant that they had incredible reverence for him. All that happened before the miracles and the wonders. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. These two verses are key to a local church. Verse 24, let us consider one another and to provoke unto love and good works. The word consider, what is that? What is, when you see that, what do you think that means, to consider one another? Yeah, to come alongside and to see a brother or sister and that's struggling and come alongside them, to consider them, to pray for them, to when they're sick, come alongside and fix their fence when you know that it's broken. Okay? And then it says here, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves. In other words, don't forsake each other. Why? Because we have a job to do, to exhort one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. The world we live in is evil.
Amen.
Hello? If you haven't figured it out yet, it is. And we need each other. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this time. Thank you.